Highness. We extend a warm welcome to you and to our visitors as we worship together on the most holy body and blood of Christ. The announcements for this week. The June edition of The Word Among Us is available in the Narthex. This has the daily scripture readings and other inspirational readings. The funeral for Virginia Deva will be Monday, June 7th at 10 a.m. Please join us after Mass for the Corpus Christi procession. And see page 3 in the bulletin for the meetings this week. Please stand and join in prayer and song.
Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
May the grace and peace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all.
And also with you.
I want to give a special welcome to our guests and visitors who may be here in anticipation of our procession after Mass on this Feast of Corpus Christi to our sister parish, St. Mel. I also want to acknowledge and welcome different groups in the parish that are present here. The Knights of Columbus will be joining us in procession. Our altar servers will be joining us in procession. Our first communicants dressed so nicely in their first communion apparel. I want to welcome them. They'll be joining us, as will be other parish organizations. In this, our way to publicly profess our belief that Jesus is King, that He is Lord of all, that He's given us His very self in which to delight. We enter now into these holy mysteries where the presence of Jesus is made real. And to be ready, we purify ourselves, we examine our conscience, we ask God's help to see ways in which we have not had faith, in which we have not hoped, in which we have not loved, and call on His help so that we might turn to Him with true repentance and receive mercy and His abundant help.
Lord Jesus, You raise us to new life. Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
Lord Jesus, You forgive us our sins. Christ, have mercy.
Christ, have mercy.
Lord Jesus, You feed us with Your body and blood. Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
May Almighty God have mercy on us, forgive us our sins, and bring us to life everlasting.
Amen. Glory.
Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, you gave us the Eucharist as the memorial of your suffering and death. May our worship of the sacrament of your body and blood help us to experience the salvation you won for us and the peace of the kingdom where you live with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever.
Amen.
A reading from the book of Genesis. In those days, Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine, and being a priest of God Most High, he blessed Abram with these words: Blessed be Abram by God Most High, the creator of heaven and earth, and blessed be God Most High, who delivered your foes into your hand. Then Abram gave him a tenth of everything. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians. Brothers and sisters, I received from the Lord what I also handed on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was handed over, took bread, and after he gave thanks, broke it and said, "This is my body that is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, also the cup. After supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the death of the Lord until he comes." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
Lord. Whoever eats this bread will live forever.
Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia.
The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus spoke to the crowds about the kingdom of God, and he healed those who needed to be cured. As the day was drawing to a close, the 12 approached him and said, "Dismiss the crowd so that they can go to the surrounding villages and farms and find lodgings and provisions. For we are in a deserted place here." He said to them, "Give them some food yourselves." They replied, "Five loaves and two fish are all we have, unless we ourselves go and buy food for all these people." Now the men there numbered about 5,000. Then he said to his disciples, "Have them sit down in groups of about 50. They did so and made them all sit down. Then taking the five loaves and the two fish and looking up to heaven, he said the blessing over them, broke them, and gave them to the disciples to set before the crowd. They all ate and were satisfied. And when the leftover fragments were picked up, they filled 12 wicker baskets." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
The Eucharist we honor here, the Eucharist we celebrate, has always been a sign of contention. Our gospel reading today is Jesus preparing us for what is to come. This is a sign that Jesus can do awesome things with bread. Certainly impressed the people that were there. In fact, in one of the Gospels, as an example of the sign of contention, they misunderstood what was going on. They wanted to make him king. Jesus had to flee. They said, "Hey, we could use a guy that could do stuff like this." Well, they could, but not in the way that they thought. "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" Now that's a good question, isn't it? Lord, this is too much for us to understand. Will you also leave? "Unless you drink my blood, you will not have life in you." As hard as eating his flesh must have been to understand, we have no idea how offensive it is to tell a Jew to drink blood. It was forbidden. It was against their religion. Yet here is one telling them to do it. It wasn't just a sign of contention then, it continues now. Some people call us bread worshipers. We worship, but it's not bread. They say we're cannibals. Even within our own our own family. Some Catholics say it's just a symbol. We've lost a sense of awe at this great gift of God. Some say there's nothing miraculous here. This is just something anybody can do anywhere, anytime. But yet our faith informs us that it's so much more. Vatican II calls this the source and the summit of our lives. I like to put that in different words that says, this is where we're going. And this is how we're going to get there. Here, Jesus is made real. Here we enter into the worship of heaven. Now we see this in a veiled way, but there will come a day when we will do it face to face. And it's in that reality that we now have a part. We say this is so important that Catholics have a solemn obligation to do this every week. And it's not because we're earning our salvation or God is making us jump hoops to prove ourselves. It's because He loves us. And He knows we need what this is. We won't do well without it. Participating now in the life of heaven, the treasures of heaven. We believe that something through God's action miraculous happens. You've heard the expression, if it looks like a duck and walks like a duck and talks like a duck, it must be a... Well, there's something different going on here. This may look like bread. It may smell like bread. It may feel like bread. But in the action of God, it's infinitely more. Why do we make such a big deal about this? Why do we talk about it so much? Why is it at the center of all that we do? Why do we say this should be the center of our lives? Most clearly, most directly, most fundamentally, it's because this is Jesus. Sometimes we can think the Eucharist is something over and above, something on its own. It's not. It's Jesus Himself. It's food we could not have hoped for. It's drink that gives us eternal life. It's more than we could have imagined. Do you want to love Jesus? Do you want to know Jesus more than anything else? Do you want to serve Jesus? Then this is the best there is. This is the greatest of foods. Do you want to follow Jesus? Do you want to imitate Jesus? Do you desire Jesus? Do you long for Jesus? That's what we do when we pray. Do you want to be fascinated with Jesus, the Word made flesh, God's only Son, to whom has been given the treasures of heaven, King and Lord of heaven and earth? Well, this is Him. This is God's best help. You want the center of your life to be a relationship with Jesus. You want to know Jesus as your best friend. You want to cast the cares, the worries, the burdens, the anxieties, the sicknesses of life. You want to cast it all upon Jesus. Because that will crush us. That will bow our backs. You want to take on His yoke. Because it is easy. Because it is light. And that's what this is about. As Jesus says, do you want to abide in Him? Do you want to remain in the vine? Because we know that despite our best efforts and best intentions, apart from Him, we can do nothing. Then this is for you. You want to go deeper into the heart of God, into His infinite goodness and mercy and majesty, then this will take you there. It's very easy to do this out of habit, to do this even though we're distracted. Sometimes, consciously or unconsciously, I think we could come to church and treat it like taking, well, like I do when I take my morning medicine. Who's got one of those plastic pill things with a little compartment for each day? Hey, this is a sign of getting older. I didn't have these things when I was a teenager. Huh? Okay, but there's the, you know, vitamin pill, and then there's fish oil, and then I got a couple prescriptions, and, you know, line them all up and, you know, take them in the morning. Hey, do I think about it after that? No. It's so easy to take that approach to this. Like this is something automatic, that it's some kind of magic pill. Ooh. What a sorrow. What a great, unfortunate loss. This is food to take us places. This is food with which we need to interact. This is a person who loves us, who will lead us if we let Him. I looked up on the internet I wonder if anybody's talked about the hardest working athletes. I wonder who they'd be. Actually, there's all kinds of lists of the hardest working athletes. This is the first one I looked at. It included Roger Clemens. He was a baseball player, all-star. Is he still leader in strikeouts, I think? LaDainian Tomlinson, running. I think he might have the distance, a single season rushing record, or all-star in football. Anybody heard of Kobe Bryant? Tayshaun Prince? Who would you say is the greatest women golfer of all time? Annika Sorenstam? That some would say. Now, these are people that we could say, my goodness, they have talent. If I had Kobe Bryant's athletic ability, if I had Annika Sorenstam's golf skill. But you know what they're famous for? They're famous for working hard. I mean, I think Vijay Singh is one of them. I think he might hit 2,000 golf balls a day. If you haven't hit many golf balls, that's a lot. Every day. You get blisters. Okay. Excellence is not automatic. Yes, they've been given much, but they made much with what they were given. And so it is with us. We're given all kinds of grace, all kinds of access, all kinds of spiritual abilities in this food, but it's what we do with it, where we take it in the faith that we exercise. In fact, the spiritual food is so abundant, it's called a banquet, which is one of the images of heaven itself. And it says in the gospel today that after they ate, they were satisfied. How many of you know so much of what this world gives does not satisfy? Oftentimes, we pursue it like it will. We get there and we say, there's got to be more than this. Because there is more than that. Things of this world can only go so far to address the eternal beings that we are. We're aliens in this life. Our true home is in heaven. And this is food from our true home. Sometimes I think we would be aided if we had more miracles. There's books and books of Eucharistic miracles. I think there's three people alive in the world today that have had nothing but the host to eat for 10 or 20 years. God, why don't we hear about that more? There's all kinds of consistent Eucharistic miracles. I mean, hosts that bleed on the saints' day, every day. They've been doing it for 300 years. Would it help if when the host was lifted, it started to bleed? Went down my hands and read on the chasuble, bled on the altar and pooled on the floor? Would it help? I remember the words of Jesus saying to Lazarus, who was in hell, no, send someone, because warn my brothers. They will listen if someone would rise from the dead. Remember that? Jesus says, they've got the law and the prophets. If they don't believe that, they won't believe if someone rises from the dead. That could be a parlor trick. Something David Copperfield taught me. That's what some would say. No. To unlock these treasures takes faith. That's the condition of our relationship with God. That's where we want to be. This takes abandonment of our human abilities. Sure looks like bread. Tastes like bread. But with faith, we see more. This is not about what we do. This is about who this is. This is Jesus coming to us. Thinking of a stereotypical image of a husband and wife eating breakfast. It's in cartoons and sitcoms and other stereotypical things. Husband and wife are sitting there. The wife is talking to the husband and saying, you know, and we need to do some shopping this morning, and then you need to clean the garage, and then we need to go see my mother. And the husband is sitting there behind the newspaper going, uh-huh, yes, dear, uh-huh. And the wife goes, and I just killed your mother and buried her in the backyard. Mm-hmm, yes, dear, that's good. They're there together, aren't they? But there's different ways of of being together. That's being together, but not really being together. That's the way this can be. Jesus is there. Jesus is talking to us. And we're reading the newspaper. He's looking into our eyes. Are we looking into His? He's listening to what we're saying. Are we listening to what He is saying? Beyond all hope, you have got His complete attention. Does He have yours? This is about Jesus. This is about receiving Jesus Christ. This is about experiencing Jesus. This is about being changed in Jesus. If we do this with our full attention, if we do this with faith, if we respond with all our hearts, you know what can happen? We become what we receive.